Well, we thank the Lord again for bringing us together for worship. And we'll begin with just the opening few verses of Psalm 18. Psalm 18. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Well, let's commit our time to our God in prayer. O Lord, our God and gracious Father in heaven, Lord, we do indeed take those words on our lips, and we trust they come from our hearts. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, the one in whom we trust. O Lord, we come before you this evening to seek the blessing of the Lord upon our time together, praying, Lord, that the blessed Spirit of God will brood upon us once again, and that as the word is read and expounded this evening, the Spirit may take these things and embed them deeply into each one of our hearts. O Lord, you know how we come this evening, the different circumstances in our lives. And once more, Lord, we pray that the word will be appropriate and suitable for each one. We do remember those who are listening online, and ask, Lord, that the same blessing that we seek for ourselves here will be upon them in their homes, and that together, from this congregation, there will be a song of praise going up to the God of heaven, and that we shall all carry away something from yourself to nourish and encourage us through the days of this coming week as our lives are lengthened out. So, Lord, hear us and presence yourself amongst us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, our opening hymn, that great hymn of Luther's, a safe stronghold our God is still, a trusty shield and weapon. He'll help us clear from all the ill that hath us now o'ertaken. 360. Or would you turn with me in God's Word this evening to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. Let's read this lovely psalm together. Psalm 27. A psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path, because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. May God bless that reading from his word to us. Let's seek the Lord in prayer. O our great and glorious God, we bow humbly in your holy, holy, holy presence. For Lord, we are coming into the presence of the triune Jehovah, the one who is, or who was and is and ever will be, the one who inhabits eternity and who sits on no precarious throne. O Lord, what a joy it is in these troubled days to be able to read such psalms as we have read this evening, to sing those words, those lines of such confidence. A safe stronghold our God is still. And Lord, we have proved that over the years of our lives thus far. And we are confident, Lord, that you will continue to be our stronghold. You will continue to help us in all those things that overtake us in life. And Lord, most gloriously of all, we can know with confidence that one day we shall have the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. He will give it to us. He will give his victory to us. And we shall reap the blessings of that victory for all eternity. And the evil one and all his hosts will be banished forever. And all those who have served him we'll be with, condemned to be with him. But oh, what a wonderful thing, Lord, that we who are your children, we who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, have put all our hope in him and in his work in life, death, and now in his life of intercession in the glory. We shall be with him. Oh, thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. But Lord, you know the various challenges that we all face in life. Lord, not least of all, at this particular time in the history of our nation, indeed in the history of the world. Lord, there is much that would dishearten us, much that casts us down. We are human, Lord, and we have human frailties, human sensitivities. But, O Lord, we're not going through anything harder than that which our Lord went through for us. For as the hymn sings, Lord, his way was much darker and rougher than mine. Did Christ my Lord suffer? Shall I murmur? Shall I repine? No, Lord, perish the thought. Establish us this evening through your word. And strengthen us, Lord, for any future challenges that may confront us. By means of your word, we thank you for that trusty weapon, for that glorious sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and that you have given it to us. There are thousands in this world, Lord, who have never seen a Bible. They have never read the Word of God. They have never heard the Word of God set before them. They know nothing but the hopelessness of despair, of falsehood, error, and superstition. And Lord, there are still many, many people in this world, even as Christians, who do not have the Word of God in their hands. But Lord, we thank you that many of them have it in their hearts. And Lord, this is our sure weapon. Oh Lord, we thank you for it. And may we not treat this privilege lightly of having a Bible to read and having the preaching of the Word of God before us. May we use every single opportunity that we have to hear the Word, to read the Word, to learn from the Word, and Lord, to trust even more in the God of the Word. We have the Word of God, but praise your name, we know and love the God of the Word. O Lord, we thank you for that other weapon, that weapon of all prayer. And we have to confess before you, Lord, that far too often, all prayer sometimes fades into the background when we are challenged. We turn hastily to the Word of God. But Lord, do we turn hastily to the throne of God in prayer? Oh, forgive us, Lord. It's small wonder that we stumble. We stumble our way through life, confused and perplexed at times. But Lord, we needn't. And we pray that you will help us to stand. And having done all, to still stand and withstand the onslaughts of the evil one and all his cohort, to withstand in the name and in the strength that God supplies, and all through his beloved Son. O Lord, once again this evening, we pray for one another in this congregation, those present, those absent, that, Lord, you will encourage us and strengthen us day by day. O Lord, by your blessed Spirit, bring the word home to us, whether we're reading it quietly alone or together. And Lord, may we derive from the Word of God our strength and receive the blessing it is intended to give. Here is all that we need. All that we need to guide us through life. All that we need to strengthen us in weakness. All that we need to keep us from straying. Oh, your word is precious. And we want to treat it as a precious thing, a precious book, and to enjoy it. Oh Lord, people, sometimes we see people with precious jewels, and they love to look at them. They love to handle them. They love to just have them. Oh Lord, we have a more precious jewel than all the greatest jewels and diamonds that this world can offer us. We have your word. Oh, may we look at it often. May we listen to its words. Lord, may we love to gaze upon it and understand all that it contains. And Lord, we shall never fully fathom the word of God. It is glorious. Lord, just give us a deeper love to it and a deeper love to yourself. O Lord, be with any in any special and particular need at this hour. We would pray for them particularly. We do not know personal needs and circumstances, but you do. And you know those things perfectly. You know why one and another are having to go through them. And you know what these things are going to issue in. You know where they are leading. But we know from your word, and Lord, it's your word that gives us the help in facing these things. Your word tells us that all things work together for your glory. And Lord, as Christians, that's what we desire more than anything else. The glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But then your word assures us that all things work together for the good of those who are the called and are loved of you. And if we are amongst them, Lord, how blessed we are. And all these things that come into our lives are working together for our good. Oh, how good, how gracious you are. How good is the God we adore. He is indeed. And it's our privilege to adore and worship you together this evening. And now to hear your word. Oh, come and be amongst us. Lord, send none unfed away. Send no one home hungry tonight. But may we go to our homes and those who are at home go to their beds. Well fed, well nourished by the word of the Lord, which is before us now. And we seek these things with the forgiveness of all our sin. For Lord, there is sin mixed with all that we do. We cannot avoid it, Lord. We are such sinful creatures. Sinful thoughts can go through our minds, even in our sacred things. Evil, sinful words can be spoken, not always intendedly, not always wittingly. But Lord, unwittingly sometimes. Oh, how many foolish things go through our mind and come from our lips. Oh Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for Jesus' sake. And oh Lord, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And reseal home to us afresh that the guilt of our sin was carried away by the Lord Jesus Christ, when he took my sins and my sorrows and bore the load to Calvary, where he suffered and died alone under the wrath of God that was due to us. He took it, even for me. And Lord, we praise you tonight and pray for that these things we'll be blessed more and more as we contemplate them together. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, before we come to God's word, we have another hymn, A Sovereign Protector I Have, Unseen, Yet Forever at Hand. God's help as we turn to his word. O Lord, we come before you now specifically to ask for your help, that we might have attentive hearts and minds to your word as it is opened before us. O Lord, may we know something of the unseen protector ever at hand with us this evening as we turn to the scriptures together. We seek it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'd ask you to open your Bibles with me on Psalm 27 this evening. Psalm 27. A psalm that is a favourite of many a Christian. May well be a favourite with some of you here this evening. As I just look at it quickly, I'm sure we have all thanked the Lord for verse 1. that the Lord is the strength of our life, our light and our salvation. How we thank the Lord for such words as that. Or perhaps we have made it our personal prayer in verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Who hasn't, what Christian hasn't prayed along those lines? Are we not encouraged so often from verse 14 to wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he will strengthen our hearts? And then wait, I say, on the Lord. And I'm sure there are other verses, there are certainly other verses in my own Christian walk and life that have been an encouragement from this psalm. And no doubt the same applies to some of you. Well, in these days in which we're living, a question arises sometimes. What should our outlook be on life in times like these? Well, how should we view things? How should we look at them? How should we face them? Because see them, we cannot help it. And face them, we must. So what is the Christian's outlook on life? And I want to draw just one or two things from this psalm to help us and to encourage us. For we need encouragement, don't we? Well, let's be encouraged by Psalm 27 again this evening. And there are really just four things that mark out the Christian's outlook on life. The Christian looks at life with confidence. I'll open that up in a moment. He looks on life with confidence. A Christian looks at life with longing. Looks at life prayerfully. And also sees life as an opportunity for testimony. And those four words, those are the four words that form my headings this evening. The Christian outlook is one of confidence, of longing, of prayerfulness, and testimony. So I'm just going to take those four words one by one this evening. Confidence. Well, that's verses 1 to 3. And you'll notice that the last word of verse 3 is confident. In this, I will be confident. In what, David, will you be confident? We may ask the question. In what can I be confident? In all the uncertainty and all the mayhem that surrounds us at this time. Well, as a man of faith in his Lord, David gives us two simple reasons for his confidence. He could face life confidently, and just remember the sort of life that David lived, how he was hounded from pillar to post, how he had his ups and his downs, and how he fell and sinned, and all that was in David's life. How could he face life with confidence? First of all, because of what his Lord meant to him. What his Lord meant to him. Just look at verses 1 to 3. And can you not see immediately in verse 1 the language of appropriating faith? The Lord. That's how he begins the psalm. The Lord. Capital letters. The covenant God. You see, a man of faith like David, a man of faith like a Christian, has an object of their faith. They have a focus for their faith. And that object and focus is not on the things around them, but on the Lord, the covenant God. And can we not, this evening, take up the language of Psalm 48? This God is our God. Not for the years of time alone. Oh no. Forever and ever. Wonderful words. But once we grasp who our God is, I wonder who your God is tonight. I'll tell you who my God is. It's the one with whom David begins this psalm and keeps on mentioning almost every verse. He mentions the Lord in some way or another. If not specifically the word Lord, he's there. He is the sovereign Lord. When all around my soul gives way, who is my strength? Who is my stay? It is the Lord. This is what the Lord meant to him. This is the one on whom he focused. He's not only is he sovereign, but he is the all-powerful Lord. We were thinking this morning of impossibilities. But with our God, nothing is impossible. He has power over all things. He doesn't just rule over them, but he actually exerts his power over them. He is the all-knowing God, the omniscient one, the one who never slumbers, who never sleeps, and whose eyes are upon you, Christian, day and night. There is never a moment when his sovereignty is not controlling you, when his power is not at work for you, when his knowledge is ignorant of you. And we could go through all his attributes. Just one more for this evening. He is the faithful God. He is the faithful Lord. He's faithful to himself. He's faithful to his word. He is faithful to his people. He is faithful to his covenant. He is faithful in every single aspect. And what he has said, he will do. Oh, is this your Lord tonight? Is this what he means to you? He means so much because simply of who he is. But the Lord is. This Lord, says David, is my light. He is my light. Now it's dark out there now. What will you do when you get in your car to go home? You'll put on the lights, won't you? You want to see and be seen. When we get indoors, first thing we shall do is put the light on so that we don't stumble over something that we carelessly left in the middle of the doorway. What David is saying when he speaks of the Lord is my light is that he is the director of my life. He directs me and he directs my life and he directs my feet as I live that life. And I thought of the fiery, cloudy pillar that the Israelites had in their journey through the wilderness. And it's so lovely to see it. Nehemiah sums up the various aspects of the journey through the wilderness so beautifully and so succinctly. In Nehemiah 9, verse 9, you led them by day, with a cloudy pillar. You led them by night, with a fiery pillar, to give them light on the road on which they travel. We're pilgrims, aren't we? We're on a road. We're on a journey. And we need light by day. Or we need guidance by day. And we need guidance by night. What Christian doesn't go through a daylight experience or a nighttime experience? And we need the Lord to be with us. I've just finished reading one of my favourite books, Pilgrim's Progress again. And the eye of the Lord was upon his pilgrim, guiding him through the tough times and the easier times, keeping him in the difficult times, and preserving him in the easy times. Oh, do we not rejoice with David in Psalm 119 when he says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet. It's there shining where I put my feet step by step. And it's shining down upon my pathway. It's a lamp to my feet." You know what it's like. You may go out of here and you may have a torch in your pocket. And particularly if it was a snowy night, you would just shine the torch. You wouldn't shine it all for everybody to see. You shine it where you're going to put your feet. God's word does that. And then you may have a big lantern. And you shine that when you want a broader light on your path. Says David, God's word is like that. He is my light. And he has given me his word to be my light. He is my salvation. Oh, David, he had some right ups and downs, didn't he, in his life? Oh, how he stumbled around. What terrible sins he committed. And let me say immediately, I'm not pointing a finger at David. But I thank God that he's revealed that David sinned in his word, and that David could say that the Lord is my salvation. And you and I can say the same, can't we? Our hope of salvation did not rely, as David's did in the way there, on the temple sacrifices. But we have the ultimate sacrifice of Calvary. When David sinned, he went and offered sacrifices, not in the temple, because of course it hadn't been built in David's day, but probably in the tabernacle. But he went to the place of worship, the place of sacrifice, and he offered sacrifices. But we don't have to go to those lengths. We have a glorious Saviour. The ultimate sacrifice has been offered on the cross at Calvary. And there is our hope of salvation. God the Father sent his Son. God the Son came. God the Son wrought salvation. God the Holy Spirit applies salvation. So that we sing, don't we now? Yes, the Lord is my light. He's my director. He is my salvation. And my hope is built on nothing less. And as Dad used to say, and nothing more than Jesus' blood and righteousness. He is the strength of my life, says David. Where did David draw his strength? He drew it from his relationship with his divine protector, didn't he? A sovereign protector I have. He's unseen, but he's ever at hand. Yes, we can sing that. We have just sung it. But do you not sing it from your heart? With such a light, such a salvation, such a source of strength, are we not confident? And David asks the rhetorical question, whom shall I fear then? Of whom shall I be afraid? He looks back in verse 2. The wicked came against me. They were going to devour me. They were going to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes. But what happened to them? The Lord is my light, my salvation, the strength of my life. And they all stumbled and fell. That was David's testimony. Think of his experience with Goliath. Was there ever such a great, huge enemy who threatened to devour him? We won't go through the story of David and Goliath this evening. But you know how Goliath said to him, "Come here and I'll feed you to the birds." "Oh no," says young David, probably a teenager. "I come in the name of the Lord God of Israel." And with that he slung a stone. And before the arrogant giant knew it, David had cut off his head. Yes, they stumbled and fell. Goliath stumbled and fell in front of David. How many armies encamped against David? I wouldn't like to count without actually having a pen and paper and reading carefully. How many enemies rose up against him? Saul, Abner, Absalom, the Philistines. The list is almost endless. And his own wicked heart, how that rose up against him. How many wars did he fight? But in them all, he could say, I look back, my enemies, my foes, they all stumbled, they all fell. And now I face the present challenge, and I face the future challenges. And David could say with honesty, in this I will be confident, who my Lord is and what he has done. And done for me. We can join him, can't we? Can we not join Paul in his confident outlook? When God had said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. Can we not take confidence? Can we not go with confidence against the foe? When we read what God said through Moses to his people, or to one tribe in particular, as your days, so will your strength be. Confidence. The Christian's outlook is one of confidence, not in man, not in self, but in the Lord. The second thing I pick up from this psalm and the Christian's outlook, it is one of longing. One of longing. Verses 4 to 6. We might pick up on Psalm 20. Psalm 20. And verse 4, where David speaks of his heart's desire, longing, heart's desire. Now, here in Psalm 27, it's not so much finding help in difficulties, but it's more summarized, yet equally intense. It's still his heart's desire, his heart's longing, and it has three parts. Even though he says, one thing I've desired of the Lord. One thing I've desired of the Lord. But it's in three parts. This is what he seeks. This is what he's longing for in his times of challenge and opposition. And I suggest to you in verse 4, it's closeness to the Lord. He wants to be close to the Lord. What does he seek after? He wants to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. In other words, he's not only thinking of the present, he's looking ahead. He wants to be in the house of the Lord now and tomorrow and the day after and the day after. He wants to always be there. Why? Why does he want to be in the house of the Lord? Because there he will behold the beauty of the Lord. You see, when he's in the house of the Lord, he's in the presence of the Lord. What did God say? He said through Moses to his people, there I will meet with you. There we can have fellowship together. Now, we won't go through the tabernacle and temple worship this evening, but that's what God promised. And there, in the presence of the Lord, David would see and enjoy the beauty, the wonder of true holiness. That's why in Psalm 29, in verse 2, he speaks about worshipping the Lord in the beauty of holiness. I love hymns, and there's one that runs like this. My God, how wonderful thou art. Thy majesty, how bright. How beautiful thy mercy seat. In depths of burning light. Now that's looking back to the old mercy seat. But where is the mercy seat now? The mercy seat is the throne of God in heaven. And that throne of judgment and justice has been transformed by the precious blood of Christ into the mercy seat of glory. And so the hymn writer goes on, how wonderful, how beautiful the sight of thee must be. Thine endless wisdom, boundless power, and awful purity. He's speaking of the holiness, the majestic holiness of God. And that is all the days of my life here upon earth. But I'm sure that David's looking beyond this life. He's looking beyond to heaven. What a glorious place. Well, who is there in heaven? The Lord who is my light. The Lord who is my salvation. The Lord who is my strength. The Lord who is my light. And all that I need through life. And one day I shall go and be in his presence. I'm in his presence now because he is with me. But I can't see him. But when I see him as he is, then I'll praise him as I ought. And again, the hymns pick it up. Father of Jesus, love's reward, what rapture will it be, prostrate before thy throne to lie, and ever gaze on thee. David says, one thing, I've got one desire, and it's my greatest longing. I want to be in the presence of my Lord. I want to inquire in his holy temple. Well, what happened in the tabernacle? What happened in the temple? Wasn't there fellowship with God? Not just in his presence, but communion, fellowship with God. That's what was happening through the sacrifices. That's what was happening at Calvary. And by faith, we have fellowship and communion with God now. The place of his dwelling is among his people on earth, among the church militant. Don't you realize, Paul writes to the Corinthians, that you are the temple of the living God? What a great thing it is to be together like this evening. This is where God dwells. He dwells among his people. What a privilege to meet together. What a privilege to worship together. To have his word brought to us together. And let me tell you this. There's no temple in heaven. There's no temple in heaven. For Revelation 21 tells me, the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. Isn't that a glorious thing? We shall have fellowship with God. One day. And we have the foretaste of it now. And the more we enjoy it now, the more we long for it then. Oh, if such the sweetness of the streams, what must the fountain be? Where saints and angels draw their bliss immediately from thee. We draw it now by faith, but then we shall draw it immediately. Oh, what must it be to be there? Meanwhile, David seeks and longs for security in the Lord. In verse 5, David was a military man. And this is a military verse. He speaks about a time of trouble. Well, we don't know what it was when this psalm was written, but David knew lots of times of trouble, and so do we. But he longed to be hidden in his Lord's pavilion and in the secret place of his tabernacle. He wanted to be hidden there. In his pavilion, David longed to be with his Lord at Battlefield HQ. Remember, David would know what it was to go out in front of his army. He didn't always do that because his generals and so on, his soldiers, his commanders, and also the people recognized the folly of actually sending their king into the heat of battle. But initially that's what he did, and that's what they did in those days. But the king would be at battlefield headquarters, in the pavilion, the most well-guarded and most secure place, in the place where the royal standard flew. David wants to be there. That's safe there. It's the most well-guarded, it's the most secure place in the place of battle. To be under the royal standard. But he wants more than to be just with the army fighting under the standard of the king. He wants to be in the secret place of his tabernacle. So you've got this picture of the pavilion, battlefield headquarters, and the pavilion of the king, and then the generals and so on, all the commanders of on the field. That's where they would have their tents, where they would, their command posts, if you like. But he says, I don't want to just be under the royal standard. I want to be in the very presence of the king. I want to be in the most secure place, the king's private quarters, in his tabernacle, in his tent. Not the tents of the others, but his tent. You see, he wanted to be where personal contact was made with the king. He wanted to be where the battle orders were given. He wanted to be where the battle honours were awarded. Do you begin to get a picture? We are here and we come together where the orders are given. But then we shall be where the honours are awarded. He shall hide me. No one can touch him there. But his Lord will also do something else. He will hide me in his pavilion. He will hide me in the secret place of his tabernacle. And he'll set me on a rock. The place of unshakable safety. There wouldn't come a moment when the king would have to move away because it was getting too hot for him. No. It was a rock. It was unshakable security. And how he longed for that. You can imagine David when he's on the run from Saul, when he's on the run from Absalom and all the other events. Oh, how he longed for a place of safety. Well, he found it. As an object of his Lord's covenant love, David is beyond the reach of harm. And where are you hidden tonight? Where is your place of safety? Is it not in the rock of ages, cleft for me? Let me hide myself in thee. That's where we are. And in verse 6, from that vantage point, now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies, all around me. He will offer the sacrifices, not of blood, but the sacrifice of praise, of joy, of thanksgiving. Yes, I'll sing praises to the Lord, he says. He's full of confident praise, isn't he? Oh, his longing. He doesn't only want to offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle, but he wants to do it in glory. You see, the closer we are to the Lord, the greater our praises will be. Will you notice? In verse 6, I will, I will, I will. Not he shall, he shall, he shall, but I will, I will. Yes, I will. How positive David is. He will worship and praise the Lord. And shall we not do the same, even on the battlefield? Because Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. From him no power of evil can sever. There's security, you see. Why? Because he gave his life to ransom my soul, and now I belong to him. Now I belong to Jesus, and Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. The Christian outlook is one of confidence, but the Christian outlook is one of longing for the continual presence of the Lord and the opportunity to bring everlasting praise to his name. The third thing, the Christian outlook is a prayerful outlook. He is a person of prayer. In response to the Lord's command to seek his face, when you said, verse 8, seek my face, what was David's response? Your face, Lord, I will seek. I will seek your face, Lord. And he said it from his heart. He didn't just say it for the benefit of those around him. He meant it from his heart. He prays with confidence. He longs with confidence. He prays with confidence to the God of his salvation. Look at verse 9. Do not hide your face from me, Lord. Lord, I can't see it. I can't see your face. But Lord, don't hide it. I am seeking it, Lord, even if I can't see it. David didn't say, I see your face, Lord. I'm seeking it. That's prayer. Don't hide your face from me. Reveal your face. Don't turn me away in anger. O God of my salvation, the God in whom my confidence is grounded, the one who has been my help. How lightly we sing, O God, our help in ages past. And we mean it. But are we just as confident when we go on to sing our hope for years to come? If the one is true, the other is true. Just think what you're singing. I will sing praises to my God of ages, who helped me in ages past, and in whom I am trusting for years to come. He prayed for God's continued presence. He had known the presence of God. We've looked at that. He was longing for that presence. And so he prays for that presence in verse 9. Don't leave me, nor forsake me. Don't hide your face from me. Don't turn your servant away in anger. Don't leave me. Don't forsake me. You see, he's got confidence. And he's got a longing. And he's got to express that confidence and longing. And that's what he's doing in his prayer. Largely here in verse 9. Is he not praying also for God's continued care? The Lord had been his light and shone on his pathway and led and directed him. He says, you've done it, Lord, in the past. Don't stop now. That doesn't speak of a lack of faith, because he's praying with the confidence of faith. Look at him in verse 10. The Lord will take care of me. Lord, take care of me. He will take care of me. You see, it's confident prayer. It's the prayer of faith. I would have lost heart, he said. Didn't he? I would have lost heart if I hadn't been able to say this. If I hadn't believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, verse 13. How God had guided him thus far. And what does he do in prayer? Teach me your way, Lord. He's turning his confidence and his longing into prayer. Don't deliver me up. Don't hand me over to my enemies, Lord. Not only lead me in a smooth and a right path through the middle of my enemies, but please don't let them get hold of me, Lord. It's a wonderful psalm, isn't it? You see, David's prayers are full of confident trust in his Lord wherever you turn. And if David's Lord is your Lord, you can come to him with equal confidence. Indeed, I will go further. I will say, and I speak to myself, I should come to him with equal confidence. So the Christian's outlook is one of prayerfulness, and it's rooted in faith and in personal experience. And finally and briefly, the Christian's life and outlook is one of testimony. In verse 14. So far he's been talking to himself and to the Lord. Now he's talking to others. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. He's found his strength. And he's now looking at others and he's saying, you wait on the Lord like me. Be of good courage. And he'll strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You see, this confidence, this longing, this prayerfulness will be seen in our life. It's not just something in the closet, not just something when we're with other Christians. It's something that overflows in our life. It finds expression in this lovely exhortation born out of David's experience. You know, I've heard it said. I've had it said to me. Why haven't you caved in? And the answer is this psalm, isn't it? In essence. Has anyone ever said to you, I don't understand? Or perhaps they've looked at someone else and they've said to you, I just don't understand how they keep going. What an opportunity to say, well, I'll tell you how he or she keeps going. The Lord is their light and their salvation. and the strength of their life. And they have got their eyes on the end game, on the end goal. And they live a life of prayer, of confidence and faith. That's how they keep going. You do the same. You do the same. My friend, I trust you can look back to times when you waited on the Lord in providence, when you waited on Him in spiritual things, in grace. And you can look back to those times when He gave you courage and when He strengthened your heart. Now, what have you done as a result? Yes, you've thanked the Lord, you've praised the Lord. But have you shared those answers to your prayers for the encouragement of others? Oh, but I don't want to cast my pearls before swine. Oh, that sounds very pious, doesn't it? And we're not to cast our pearls before swine. That's not what the Lord was. I'm not talking about that. My friend, have you glorified God? I will declare what He has done for my soul. I will declare what He has done in my life. You see, you have a responsibility. A responsibility to speak to others of what the Lord has done. Not so you can go up a peg, but for the glory of your Lord. You want to glorify Him, don't you? I do. Then let us bear our testimony. And let us, because we have a responsibility for the good of others, let us share our testimony for the good of the people around us. Have you ever thought of it that way round? Oh, I want to praise the Lord, but I want to be a useful to other people. I have a responsibility to say to them, when they ask me perhaps, no, we don't go around telling everybody everything. It's not that. But when someone comes along and says, I don't know how you do it. You say, well, yeah. No. I'll tell you how I got through that. I waited on the Lord. I took courage from His word. And He strengthened my heart. I say to you, wait on the Lord and you'll find the same. You see, we've a responsibility for God's glory. We've got a responsibility for the good of others. And I'll tell you something else. You'll be encouraged yourself when you do so. I know that from experience. The Christian outlook is one of bearing testimony for the glory of God and the good of others. So four things. The Christian's outlook is one of confidence, not in man or in self, but in the Lord. The Christian outlook is one of longing for the continual presence of the Lord and lasting praise to His name. The Christian outlook is one of prayerfulness, rooted in faith and past experience. And the Christian's outlook is one of bearing testimony for the glory of God and the good of others. Take those four words home and read the psalm again. And wait, I say, on the Lord. O Lord, we come before You. We thank You again for Your precious, precious word. And we pray, Lord, that we might have that confidence and longing that finds expression in prayer before You and finds expression in testimony in our lives. Lord, we want to bring honour to Your name, for You alone are worthy. O Lord, impress these thoughts on our hearts. And in these days when there is such a lack of confidence everywhere, We don't want to be brash. We don't want to be arrogant, Lord. We want to have that humble confidence in you and your word, and to just tell others as the opportunities arise, wisely, sensitively, but most of all, for your glory. We seek it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, our closing hymn today is Be Gone Unbelief, My Saviour is Near. And what a beautiful hymn this is, isn't it? One of John Newton's. And you read the life of Newton and see what things he went through. And he had confidence. The first verse is one of confidence, isn't it? For my relief, he will surely appear. And then there's prayerfulness. So, with that confidence, by prayer let me wrestle with confidence. He will perform. I've got Christ with me. And so I smile at the storm. Let's sing, Be Gone Unbelief. O Lord, we are thankful, so thankful for these beautiful, these precious hymns that embrace so much. Lord, they sum up so much of your word. And we thank you, Lord, that no doubt each of us here tonight can speak of your love in time past. We can speak of those Ebenezer stones, those stones of help that you have enabled us to raise in time past. And we thank you then that all this confirms it is your good pleasure to help us quite through. And so, Lord, we part now, seeking the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit to rest upon us all, now and for evermore. Amen.